Welcome to or welcome back to The Big Picture with your host, Skylar Dempsey.
Claire Bentley.
And for those of you who are just joining us, The Big Picture podcast is all about true stories and their events. Claire and I will watch a movie based on a true story, then we'll get together and talk about the events in the movie and how they relate or correlate to the events in the true story. Today with us, we have a very special guest. He rode for PBR. His name's Adam Hollenbeck.
How's it going?
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Adam?
I guess I grew up rodeoing. Family kind of liked to do that. Started out with sheep riding. That's kind of how I got hooked. Went from sheep riding to steer riding to bull riding.
That's awesome. What do you do when you're not working the rodeo?
I used to drive a truck. Now I run heavy equipment.
Okay. That sounds fun. I have a question for you mainly coordinating to the Lane Frost. Was Lane Frost ever a big influence on you when you were bull riding?
Yeah. That movie came out when I was younger, and I think a lot of people around that time got into the bull riding rodeo era.
Sounds about right. All right, well, if you guys are wondering what the movie of this week is, it is 8 Seconds, the American biography of Lane Frost. For those of you who don't know Lane Frost, I am very, very sorry. He is a legend, an American cowboy. He rode bull for a very long time, and he sadly died in an accident at a rodeo. So, Claire and I have both seen the movie. Have you seen the movie, Mr. Hollenbeck?
Yes.
Okay. So what we kind of want to do is we're going to go over Lane Frost's story, and as we're going through this, we'll talk about, scenes in the movie and everything, mm-hmm. and talk about things that sometimes don't even relate, so. So in 1963, Lane was born to his parents, and he lived in, Lap Point, Utah. Lane's father, Clyde, rodeoed, and his mom and his mother, Elise, went to stay with her parents because, Lane was almost born, he was rodeoing, and she went to stay with her parents for time being until baby arrived. He was born in a hospital at La Junta? I don't know how to say that. It's in Colorado. It was the closest hospital to Kim, which is where he was staying. He has an older sister, Robin, and a younger brother, Cody. Lane was killed in an accident when he was 25 in Cheyenne, Wyoming. That's pretty much what we have for that. When he was younger, he jumped around a lot because of his dad rodeoing, and he ended up meeting a man named Tuff Hedeman, and him and Tuff became, instantaneously best friends. They rode together, they went to school together, they, carpooled to school together, they went rodeoing all over the country. And when Lane had passed away, Tuff took it very hard. He rode in the ambulance to the hospital with him, and it was really hard on him. And him and a lot of people, just people who didn't even know him personally, there was fans in the stands at the rodeo when he died were crying. And they say that he died at the hospital, but in reality, he died on the way to the hospital. I don't really know what else to say other than that. So, in the movie, Lane Frost, it kind of shows of, this young man who is really big into bull riding. He goes riding with his friends. He's constantly moving around. And on one of the trips, he meets his wife. Can't seem to find her name.
Kelly.
Her name was Kelly. Thank you. He meets his wife, Kelly, and they start hanging out at one of the rodeos, and they kind of start dating. And then, out of the blue, right before one of his, performances, he asks her to marry him. And she says yes. I remember in the movie, she's like, I want a house. Like, I want somewhere we can live and settle down in. And Lane's like, well, I rodeo all the time. I can't settle down. Like, I can't find a house and settle down. So he buys her a ran-down mobile home. And it's not even really a mobile home. It's a trailer.
Yeah, it was more of like a trailer.
And it was a camper. But it was ran down. It was awful.
Yeah, she wasn't too happy about it.
No, she was very mad. Is there really anything from, like, Lane's true story and the movie that you want to kind of talk about, Mr. Hollenbeck?
Well, I don't know. I guess I ain't the best talker. But, in the movie, they captured, you know, as much of the true stuff as possible, you know, as far as just winning, riding, you know, some accidents that happened.
Yeah.
They did Hollywood it up a little bit, you know, leaving stuff out or, I don't know how true it is, but in the movie they kind of made it seem like they had marital issues, but I guess I heard in real life that never happened.
Yeah, a big thing in the movie was that they were having issues. Yeah. Marriage, yeah, I remember that.
Is there anything, like, that you can relate on to, like, you can relate as a bull rider and as, like, just being part of the rodeo that, like, with Lane Frost, can you relate to that?
Yeah. Just climbing down the chute, you know, that gets the adrenaline pumping, even though a lot of that was movie. But the guy playing Lane Frost, he actually was with Gary LeFou. He's a 1970 world champion bull rider, and he puts on bull riding schools kind of across the country, mainly on the West Coast here. And so they teamed the actor for Lane Frost up with him to learn how to ride bulls. That way, when they did the movie, it looked more realistic.
That's cool. So, in the movie, Lane had a friend named Tuff Hedeman. Did you ever have, like, a buddy that you rodeoed with, or, like, travel buddy that you rode everywhere to rodeos with?
Yeah, still good friends with him.
That's awesome. Who was that person?
Lane Bays.
That's awesome. Has the same first name. Lane Bays. That's cool. So, I kind of did a little bit of my own research. You rode PBR for a few years. You started in 2014. You kind of took a break after 2022 and then kind of went back one time last year during a Yakima rodeo. I see that most of your rodeos that you've done were in, like, the Yakima kind of Tri-Cities area.
Yeah, mainly just rode, like, PRCA, Pro West, NPRA rodeos, kind of in the Northwest. I think probably 07 might have been, like, my first year with PRCA. Kind of had some ups and downs, injuries, of course.
Oh, yeah, it comes with bull riding.
I think 18 is probably, like, my last full year. I rode a couple jackpot rodeos in 2019, then took time off, and then I think it was September of 22 I decided to enter PBR in Kennewick.
That's cool. I do have a question. With them being around Kennewick, kind of Yakima, Tri-Cities area, does that have to do with, like, where you're living now? Is it that, or is it just where you prefer to ride your rodeos?
I guess since they're close, it made it easier to get there,
Yeah. So I do know you grew up with my dad, who, and my mom. You actually know my mom, Sarah Hickel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you grew up with them. Were my, like, I know you were too much friends with my dad. You and your older brother were more friends with my, like, in the same group as my mom and my uncle Philip. Did they, were they ever, like, did you ever rodeo when you were in high school?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That'd be cool. I lost my ear. I think it might have been my freshman or sophomore year.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That's... Yeah, how did that happen?
High school rodeo. It was up at Deer Park up north, and then bull come out, turn back. I went flying off the back, hit my head. Didn't realize that I got stepped on, but when I come down, his hoof come down right on my head and ripped my helmet off, but it took my ear with it.
Oh my gosh. And you still decided to rodeo after that?
Yeah. Yeah, didn't knock enough sense into me.
I would have said, I'm out. I would have been done. I would have been like, nope. That's dedication.
I might have, like, you know, stopped for a little bit. But
you're
then
also the one who runs head first into fires.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So. Yeah, so, yeah, so in the movie, like, Lane got stepped on quite a few times, and, like, what's the mentality that you, or the mindset you have to be able to, like, yeah, I got stepped on by this bull, but I'm gonna get up, and I'm gonna ride again. I'm either gonna, A, ride a bull, the exact same bull, or it's a bull who's even more vicious. Like, what's the mentality there?
Mainly just, you gotta believe in yourself. You gotta push out the pain as much as possible. Most people that ride, they ride hurt. They might not show it, but there's, you know, there's joints or soreness or muscles or, you know, ligaments that are, you know, not normal. But when it comes to bull riding, you're never really going to be 100%. That's something that the rider's got to deal with.
That's crazy. Is that, like, a common mindset for, like, bull riders across the board?
Yeah. Yeah, if they get worrying about getting hurt all the time or having that fear, then pretty much shouldn't ride.
Well, yeah. That's crazy. That's like, true dedication there, to just be able to get right back up. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, in the movie, it portrays a lot of the bull riders as getting hurt, and but they get back up and do it again. Does that portray the same to, like, actual bull riding and how, you know, the real guys do it?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. You get done with one, whether you're hurt or not, you hop in a rig and you're off to the next one.
So you think Hollywood did a decent job at portraying that aspect?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably about the only thing they did good in that movie.
Yeah. they got it. It's Hollywood.
Not one true story is actually ever a true story. Hollywood has to put in their little Hollywood charm in it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, just to have that mindset of, like, yeah, I just got stepped on, I broke a rib or I broke my leg, but once it heals, I'm going right back at it. Like, there's been times where there's, like, photos of J.B. Mooney, who, if you really don't know who that is, I'm sorry for you. Of J.B. Mooney back behind the chutes and everything, sitting on a bench, like, he has, like, a brace on his knee, and then he takes that off and he goes and rides. And I'm like, that's a dedication to be like, my knee is literally screwed up, but I'm going to get onto a bull that could possibly injure me worse or kill me. Yeah. Like, that's dedication. That's true cowboy, and I don't know how much more cowboy you can get than, I'm hurt, but I'm still going to go get myself hurt even more.
And I mean, if you've got, like, a passion like that, then, yeah, you're gonna keep doing it. I mean, you're not just going to stop because something happens.
If you could pick one part of the rodeo lifestyle, what would the favorite, your, like, most favorite part be?
Outside of riding them, just the traveling, hanging out with friends. It was always a fun time. Just kind of creating memories.
So I've heard some stories about the quote-unquote campfire.
No, that's what he's talking about. It's the campfire, the after the story.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
That's really cool. I would love the traveling table. I don't know if I could ever get on the bull, but I could for sure deal with the traveling.
I think I'd definitely try it. I would definitely.
I try it once. I'm the person that I'm not going to bash it till I try it. I'd try it once, and then I'm more unlikely to be like, no, I'll leave y'all to that. Y'all can go do that. I'll just be here for the traveling.
Oh, yeah.
With that, like, Claire and I are both young. We're both women. What do you think about women coming up into the bull riding?
I think it's not a bad deal. It's, you know, it's not for everybody, even for men. You got to want to do it.
That's crazy.
And then my friend of mine's mom back in, I guess, probably the 70s, she used to ride bulls.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. That's cowgirl almost, before cowgirl almost cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep, I definitely know the tricks to, like, learn and try to do it myself. Oh, I would totally do it.
See, my dad bull rode for a while. He did a little bit here and there.
Yeah,
when he was stupid, young, and dumb, and over in Germany. See,
that's awesome.
See, I would try it, but I'm more of, I want to bronc ride.
Mm-hmm.
Would my mom allow this? Have you ever done bronc?
Yeah, I did that for a few years, actually.
Just about did everything. Saddle or bareback?
Saddle bronc.
Okay. See, if my mom was allowed me to do any bronc riding, she would make me do bareback bronc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's one thing that you think they could have, like, portrayed better in the movie?
I'm trying to remember. I haven't watched a movie in a while. I guess some of the, I don't know, probably some of the drama, I guess, could have been either cut out or a little better, I guess. But
I think they could have done a little bit better on, like, the relationship between him and his dad and him and his wife, definitely. Like you said, like, in real life, they didn't really have many marriage issues. But in, that was, like, one of the main focuses of the movie. Like almost every scene, once they got together, it was just, like, they were fighting, they were bickering, they were never agreeing. He was running out to go rodeo. She wanted him to stay, but there wasn't really much of that.
And I can't quite remember exactly the movie, but didn't he, like, bring chicks home from the rodeo too? Like, you know, I'm pretty sure that's a little part of the movie.
Maybe before he got with...
The movie showed it.
But
the movie showed that part, but
I don't think... Yeah.
No.
So I'm wondering why they put, like, marriage
problems.
Well, yeah, but still, if it didn't happen, you know...
Yeah, like I said, not every true story, like, movie based on a true story is a true story.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So, when Tuff came up to talk to Kelly at the end of the movie about writing for the family ranch, what did you kind of, like, think about that? Like, him asking her, like, she had just lost her husband, very well known, and his best friend being like, hey, I want to ride for Lane. What'd you think about that?
That was pretty cool. I seen the live footage when he was actually at the NFR.
Oh, wow.
He did ride an extra 8 or 10 seconds on that bull.
That's awesome.
So that part was a true part, emotional for all the riders.
That's crazy, because standard is 8 seconds and you're done. He rode up to 16 to 18 seconds on a bull.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. That's dedication right there for your best friend who you lost as a bull, who's a bull rider, to ride his 8 seconds. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a good friend. Really good friend.
It's the friend I want. It's kind of friend I
want. Yeah.
Yeah, and you make, I'm sure you make, like, really good friends doing that, because, you know.
You're just all over the place. Is there any people that, like, when you did rodeo that, like, you met through rodeoing that you may or may not still talk to today?
We met actually years ago, and I haven't seen him in quite a few years. South Dakota, we still stay in contact. I got friends kind of all over the Northwest. If we go to Vegas, it's funny. You don't see them, say, for a year or two or whatever, and then you see him in Vegas, and it's kind of right back to, hey, how you been? You know, it's a long time. Still just catching up, you know, kind of where we left off.
That's awesome. That, like, just rodeoing in general has to be, like, one of the greatest times because you meet so many people from, like, different backgrounds and different, like, histories and, like, ethnicities. Like, you just meet tons of people and some of them become lifelong best friends that, like, you are best friends with till your grave. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. What
better way to meet somebody and become friends with them than to be like, hey, I'm getting on a bull. Hey, so am I. Friends? Yes. Like, what better way?
Yeah, that's kind of how it happened with a buddy of mine. We're still good friends. I think we met at the practice pan, and then there was a bull riding school up in Pasco right about the same time, so we just started hanging out together. He was from Benton City, I was in Prosser, so I picked him up on my way, and from there we became good friends, started entering rodeos together and going to practice pans, and
So in the movie, Lane brings Kelly out to the family ranch and decides out to the land to start like a family to settle down. At what point in like your rodeoing career did you decide to like settle down and like say, okay, I need to get a job, I need to be able to sustain a family? Like, what point in your career did you decide to settle down?
Well, when I was riding, I was working all the way through. So I'd work during the week, and then weekends I would jump in the rig and we'd head out. But I didn't want to quit rodeoing. I guess when I started getting into my 30s, most people quit in their 20s. So I started getting up there. Probably when I broke my leg, I shattered my femur in 2016. And that kind of put a halt on things. So I thought I was done then and was going to just quit. Took a couple years off and then decided I wanted to ride one more year. So that's what I did.
It puts so much physical strain to do something like that.
You said that like most people stop riding when they're 20 in their 20s. You are still in your prime when you're 20. You've been rodeoing your whole life. You probably more than likely started with mutton busting and you just gotten up to bull riding or bronc riding, whatever you're doing, and then come closer to your 30s, you're like, okay, I'm done. And you are still really young. Like, that's crazy. Most people who don't do rodeo in their 20s, coming up to their 30s, they're finally deciding to actually settle down and start a family, where you guys are like, okay, I'm getting off the bull. And you're like, what? Crazy. So, in the movie, we see, like, Lane going through, like, so much trouble with, like, staying at, like, hotels and stuff to, like, during these rodeos. Was there ever, like, times, did you, like, go to the rodeos for the weekend or, like, just for the day? Like, did you go ride and then come straight back home? Or did you, like, was there people you stayed with at a hotel?
I guess depending on how far away it was.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, a lot of times we'd, you know, either get a hotel or sometimes we'll just sleep in the pickup and then next day go to whatever event we were at.
That's crazy. Sleeping in the truck.
It's not horrible. It's not horrible. So in the movie, it just like kind of shows them, you know, jumping onto the bulls. So in actual bull riding, is there just like kind of like, since you guys are athletes, is there kind of like a physical training that you guys go through in order to, you know, keep yourself going and in shape?
Yeah. Jogging, you know, working out, lifting weights, a lot of stretching, mm-hmm. especially before the event. Pretty much everybody's stretching out their legs and arms and just trying to keep from pulling anything. Okay. Your groins can get at the worst.
So on that topic of, like, staying healthy and fit, in a lot of movies about, like, rodeoing and stuff, especially for bull riding, I've seen this, like, thing where people will, like, take, like, these water drums and they'll hook, like, clamp, like, ropes to the edges of them and somebody will get on this water drum and they'll just shake them.
Is that
like, something that's, like, actually... Is it, like, is that what they actually do or is that just, like, a stereotype?
As a kid, we had that. We hung a 55-gallon drum up into a tree and then just had one rope on each side of it and we just kind of worked on our balance.
That's crazy. I mean it would make sense. Like, how else are you supposed to work on your balance? Because if you're just going to stand there and balance, that's just standing there. What about when you're getting, like, rocked back and forth? That's crazy. I always thought that was a stereotype.
I thought that was, like, something that, yeah, that they did, but...
I didn't think, like, okay, so I thought maybe, like, some people did it, but not, like, across the board. Is that, like, is it kind of just, like, one of those things that, like, it kind of depends on the rider, or is it kind of something that 95% of the riders do?
Yeah, I think most people do that. They also, I think more people have kind of gone into, like, they call it a drop barrel. It's almost like a teeter-totter, mm-hmm. but it's got the barrel up front. It's got a big, long handle on the back. Somebody can sit there and just go up and down like a, basically like a teeter-totter, but you're sitting up on the barrel.
That's crazy. That'd be so much fun. I would never get on the actual bull, but I'd sit there on the 55-gallon drum and just rock, be rocked back and forth.
I'd do both.
Yeah. And knowing the people I hang out with, if they would rock that thing too viciously, I would get flung. So in the movie, Lane sadly did not get to grow up to see his son, or like didn't live long enough to see his son grow up. You have a son. What would you think about your son do, like, come up to you and be like, "Hey, Dad, I want to ride." Like, what would you think about that?
He's been on some calves before. He's 11 years old now, but he likes it.
Cool.
But I think he likes the thrill of it. He's probably going to be a little bit more into the timed event side of things. I think he enjoys that a little bit more. And that. As far as riding and rodeo and actually any event, you know, you got to want to do it and mm-hmm. being pressured into doing it and it's not good. So I leave that up to him. You know, if he wants to continue in one or the other, then stand behind him.
That's awesome. You said more of like the time events. So do you mean like, do you think you want to be more of like the calf roping or like the team roping?
Yeah, I think more like the team roping is kind of where he's wanting to go.
That's awesome. Like, there is many different, like, ways you can go in aspects of, like, just being in the rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Mr. Hollenbeck said, like, you have to want to do it. Because if you don't want to do it, then there's no dedication. You're just going to be like, whatever. You have to want that thrill. And that's awesome that, like, kids in our generation are still wanting mm-hmm. to be going out there. And, like, I truly believe that with the right parents and, like, the right raising up and everything, the rodeo will forever be one of the greatest things for all Americans. Like, it's the rodeo isn't just the rodeo. It is one huge family, whether you are the run one writing the event or the one in the stands watching the event. We're all one big family, and it's awesome. Like, nothing more than the rodeo says, nothing more than the rodeo says that that's true American. Like, that's true cowboy right there.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do the roping, but, you know, I wasn't, like, born and raised into it, so...
I was never born and raised into roping either, but my dad taught me at a young age how to rope. I would never go ride and rope, but, I mean...
Yeah.
But I know how to rope.
I don't know how. I don't know how.
With that raising up kind of thing, like, was there things that, like, maybe your parent, like, your dad and your mom did for, like... Did your dad want you to start rodeing, or is that something you went to your dad and was like, hey, Dad, I want to do this, and then kind of got into it at a young age, and, like, was your dad there for you during all that whole time?
Yeah, I think my oldest brother is the one that kind of got into it. And then my parents, they didn't rodeo. My mom, she was a rodeo queen up in Othello one time. But my parents were just farmers. And then... my brother, he wanted to start riding. So we actually had a swing set, and my brother ripped all the swings off it, and then they tied a buck or a barrel to it, and that was our first buck and barrel.
That's cool. That's our neck swing right there.
Oh, yeah.
Then I was pretty young, so I just kind of followed in suit. He started riding bulls, then he got into riding bareback horses.
See, you don't have to be born into rodeo to do rodeo.
It's a little more difficult now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to kind of start at a young age.
Yeah. It helps, but I guess some people that start at a later age, say high school or just after, their body isn't beat up like somebody that's been doing it their whole life since they were kids. That's so cool. Some people, they mature more or a little bit more matured. Understand what to do, and then they can ride a little bit longer.
All right. If you could ever go back to, like, rodeoing full time, and, like, would you ever go back to rodeoing just in general?
Well, cut out. What was that?
Would you ever go back to, like, rodeoing, like, if you could?
Yeah. I probably would have actually stuck with probably saddle bronc.
Oh, wow. That's cool. What made you go from saddle bronc to bull riding?
Well, I always rode, and then I was probably around 18 or so, I decided I wanted to try a saddle bronc. So I did that for a couple of years while riding bulls. I just felt, I guess, more... it was a little bit easier to travel, and I felt more comfortable just climbing on a bull than I did a horse for some reason.
Said literally no one ever. Oh, so
then I just kind of slowly got out of the Bronx and then just stuck with the bulls.
That's crazy. Says no one ever. I ride horses, but I feel a lot more comfortable getting on a bull that's just fling me off into a metal fence.
I'd be flown all the way across the arena.
You would. No, but, like...
So, riding saddle bronc and riding bull, was there, like, different styles of, like, how you had to ride compared to, like, bronc and bull?
Yeah. It's a lot different. Bulls, you're up on your rope. You got your feet, you know, down by your rope, and you're kind of staying up over the front end. Saddle bronc, you're sitting and you're lifting on a rein, and then you got to keep in motion with your feet. You got to make it look good. You get more of a style points is in the saddle bronc. The bull riding, if you can you gotta look good doing it too in the bull ride, but just making it to the whistle was kind of the biggest challenge.
That's crazy. So with bull riding, I know you have to go to like 8 seconds. Is that like the same for bronc?
Yes.
Oh wow. Okay. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Hollenbeck, thank you so much for joining Claire and I in this episode. We appreciate it so much. You just coming on and talking to us is going to help us tremendously. And I think that will be it for today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Of course, thank you.
All right,
so we're back, and we just let Mr. Adam Hollenbeck get back to his natural day life. I think that interview went really good.
Yeah.
He was kind of a hard person to get talking, but once he got him talking, I'm pleasantly surprised with how that interview went.
I didn't know exactly what to expect, because you said that, like, he's hard to get talking, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then he was talking a little bit more. I mean, it wasn't horrible. Like, you know, it was actually really good.
We've had people on here who don't talk at all, but...
Yeah.
Our followers will know what we mean.
Yeah.
No, I think that went really, really well. I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed talking to him a lot. Like, it was really, really cool.
I like getting, like, the inside aspect from someone that actually did it. Because, right. I mean, you know, you've done it a few times, but it's no professional. So having it come from, like, someone that actually professionally did it for, like, a career really brings a whole lot of insight.
Yeah. My dad did it twice.
Twice.
When he was in Germany. He was stupid. Young. And he was in the army, so he had really...
Oh, sure.
That was really, like, the only thing he had to, like, be like, I'm a normal human. I'm not a military killing machine robot thing.
Yeah, not robot. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really, really enjoyed that. Like, I'm at a loss of words for how well that went. Like, I was pleasantly surprised. It was so hard because, like, I wanted to take this interview so seriously because of who he is and, like, kind of the aspect of the movie. But it was so hard. It was so hard for me not to laugh or to, like, go off on a tangent. Dude, when my dad...
I just go, like... You okay?
So, for those of you who didn't know, we had my dad back here with us recording. Mm-hmm. He was kind of helping us with a few questions here and there, but... In the middle of the audio, you'll hear like a snap, a crackle, and a pop. And we're sitting in these rolly office chairs. And my dad went to go lean back. He had his coffee. We got coffee before we started the interview. He has his coffee in his hand. He goes to lean back in his chair and put his leg up. And just goes, bah!
The chair just like...
The chair just went, like, it didn't break, but it popped. He jumped himself forward. And you could see the fear. My dad is... I'm not going to say his age, but he was born in 82. Do the math for yourself. He goes to lean forward, and you can see the fear in his eyes. And he, like, shakes his coffee and just, like... And I'm sitting here trying to ask a question. And I almost start... And I did start laughing.
You started laughing, yeah.
It was so hard not to just stop and start dying laughing. But I knew if we did, Adam would be like, what's going on? What did I say?
I tried so hard not to laugh.
Oh my gosh, that was really good. Like, that was fun.
That was fun.
Dude, I would definitely more than likely get up on the 55-gallon drum and just be shaken to death. But the friends we have...
That's true. That's true. I wouldn't trust them.
I'm not going to name drop. I was kind of whispering. Sorry, it took a while. The friends we have, especially if you got on the barrel, Claire... Oh, okay, Claire is, like, stand up real quick. We're gonna see this. Claire is maybe, like, how tall are you?
5'2".
Okay, so you're 5'2". I'm, like, 5'7", 5'8", 5'9". I'm almost as tall as my dad. She is 5'2".
Yep.
Maybe 115 pounds?
Oh, not even. I'm not even in the hundreds. I think I'm, like, 98.
Okay. We're
girl! See? Yeah.
She's, like...
Not even 100 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how old are you? Almost 19?
18, turning 19, like, next Monday.
Mm-hmm. She'd get flung to Mars, dude. The friends we have, our friends are hot-headed muscle heads who, when they get rowdy.
Oh, boy, dude. Oh, yeah.
Most of our friends also are firefighters, so they're not very street smart nor book smart. We call them station smart. That's what we call them. Well, at least I call them. They're station smart, and by that mean they are not smart at all. They're firefighters.
Only when we actually have to be serious about something, that's when things start working.
And yet again, while they're sitting there working fire line, they'll throw out a few jokes here and there.
Just here and there, yeah. Here and there.
Hence why they're firefighters. Anyway, the friends we have, Claire would go flying. I would get flung a little bit, but Claire would be like, see ya.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
I don't know if, like, you've seen these, like, videos. You know those, like, big inflatable balls you can go into?
Yeah.
And, like, you run into? Oh, my gosh. I came across it, like, yesterday. And they were all in the arena, and there was a bowl. And so the bowl, like, charges at them and, like, hits them. Not even joking. This dude flew out of the camera and landed in the stands on top of people. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to try that one day.
You probably landed, like, in the first or second row. You're going to end up at, like, the announcing stadium. Like, dude, the announcing booth.
I'll fly right over it, actually.
You'll completely fly into the parking lot in one of the trucks.
Yeah. I'm going to try it one day. One of my friends told me, I was like, dude, it'd be so cool to ride a bowl. She told me I couldn't. The day's coming, dude. The day's coming. I'm gonna try it.
I love you, but, like, you can't because do you see the...
I'm gonna do it. She told me I couldn't do it.
She has, like, a 4-inch waist, dude. 9-inch at most.
I don't know.
She's like, I don't know. No. Dude, that's crazy. You'll figure it out. You just need to bulk up. Hit the gym, bro.
I'll hit the gym, bro.
It sounds like Colton and Dylan. Come on, my bicep's bigger, bro.
Dude. But yeah, we should try it with our friends. Let's do it. I'll do it.
Not those specific three that I named.
I'll do it.
You're stupid.
I am stupid.
If you're going to do it with those three boys... You're going to be gone forever in Aaron Hernandez.
I'll still do it.
Do you even know what that is?
No.
Oh my god, he's a baseball player. He passed away, so it's like... Gone forever, Aaron Hernandez.
I've never big on sports.
I'm not big on sports, but I'm big on getting on a bowl and almost killing myself. Sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Well, with that, guys, that is take one, episode
7?
I think 8.
8? Dang, we're ahead.
Girl, we are on fire. We are pumping out one episode a week, bro.
I can't even ask.
It's been 8 weeks. It's been 8. No, it has not been 8 weeks because there was a few weeks we pumped out like 2 in a week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this is for a class. For those of you who are either A, just joining us, B, I don't even remember if we told them enough. First episode.
I don't think we did.
Okay, so if you guys are new or old here, so we're doing this for our business communications class.
Mm-hmm.
We are both still in high school. Yeah, this is for our class, and we're kind of in groups. It's Claire and I, sadly. Shiloh has passed away, got into a very, very fatal car accident. And
nah, she just changed classes.
Yeah, I know, dude. She... You're like, nah. No, we miss Shiloh. We miss her so much. We're in groups, and there's, like, what, maybe... Hold on, let me think. There's maybe, like, 10 or 11 other people in our first hour class.
Maybe not even. Actually, you might be right. You might be right. I forgot about the three girls up front.
Yeah. But, like, so there's, like, maybe 10 people, and...
Yeah, 9, I think.
And so we're in these groups, and everybody's on, like, episode 5 or 6. Or, like, we're in episode 8. Dude, that's crazy.
We're doing good.
Episode 8. Like, I remember when we were talking about dolls and clowns, and now we're, like, bull riding.
Yeah, it changed so much.
Much.
Clowns are still scary, though.
Oh, most definitely. They're terrifying.
No thanks.
If a clown was to ever come up to me and be like, hi, and I'll be like, bye,
bye,
bye.
Dude, one of those things walk in front of my car, I am not at fault for running it over.
Nah.
I'm running it over.
Pedal to the metal. All right. So with that, guys, that is episode one. Episode eight, take one, cut.